Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would look with me to the book of John tonight, the book of John in chapter 5. On Sunday nights, we've been going through and teaching on the teachings of Christ, the messages, the lessons that have been recorded in the Bible where Jesus is teaching lessons that we need to learn. We need to learn all of those. And the next event where we find Christ presenting a lesson to be learned is here in John in chapter 5. And we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 14. So if you would, go ahead and stand with me if you're able to. As I read, you can follow right along with me. The healing at the Pool of Bethesda, John chapter 5 and verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. And again, thanking you for just making it possible for us to have this assembly here tonight. And Lord, you know exactly who's here and who's listening via the live stream. And you know what kind of needs everyone has that is listening to your word being preached tonight. I pray, God, that you would once again empower the preaching of your word and use it in such a way as to speak to each and every one and to give each one that which they have need of. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The Pool of Bethesda. The Bible tells us that Bethesda is a Hebrew word. And the meaning of this word is house of mercy. House of mercy. This would be a pool where the very same thought would be connected to this pool, and it is a pool of mercy. This pool was in Jerusalem. And as we have it recorded in the Bible, it's God's word. John was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write it and to record what God wanted to have recorded here. There would be a moving of the water by an angel. And then the healing of whatever illness, whatever infirmity that an individual would have, but it would require that individual being the first one into the pool of mercy after the stirring or the troubling of the water. Now, this has been somewhat of a mystery, and there have been many men throughout the ages that have tried to explain away everything about what is recorded here. And I'm not going to attempt to explain away and give you a understanding or a philosophy or whatever, an application as far as the stirring of the water, because I don't think that is the main message here. That's not what Jesus would have us to be looking to and kind of get sidetracked and miss out on the important parts of this teachings of Christ. This is what we do know. This event was part of God's design plan for the life of Jesus Christ. And it could be that that's what it was all about. It was preparing humanity and Jerusalem and all those people that were at that pool of mercy to realize that it's not a pool that I'm looking to receive mercy and healing and health and to be made whole, but it's Jesus Christ. So we find here that there's no doubt it was part of God's design plan for the life of Jesus. Everything that Jesus said had a design plan. And everything that God wanted to have recorded of what he said has been recorded. Every event in the life of Christ that God wanted to have recorded has been recorded. So we have it here. And so that's what we need to focus on, is what has been recorded and the message from what we have recorded and how we can apply that to our lives today. So tonight our focus is going to be on a lost, crippled man who had been there at this pool of mercy for possibly 38 years. How long he had the infirmity. Now, we don't know for sure he was there for that long of time, but the Bible says he was there for a long time. Could have been 38 years. Who finds himself all alone and in great need. Wow. How many people in the world do you think could identify with this kind of a man? Having some type of a physical, spiritual need, find themselves all alone and in great need. Can I tell you, it's who Jesus was looking for. In the book of Luke in chapter 19, the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. To seek, he's looking for you. He's looking for every lost individual that would acknowledge him. He's looking for not only the lost individual, but especially if you are saved. Can I tell you that Jesus is looking to you? If you have been blinded, if you have been led astray, there's something that you find yourself all alone and you've lost sight of the very presence of God and the help that God has to offer you. He's seeking after you in a different way. He's seeking after you as one of his own children, somebody that has put their faith and trust in them, but have been backslidden and have been blinded. But this is a type of person whom Jesus is looking for. Matter of fact, in the book of Luke in chapter 4, let me just read it to you, but write it down, and you know the verse here, I'm sure, but in Luke in chapter 4, Jesus, when he presented himself as the Messiah, In Nazareth, he read from the scriptures a verse that described why he came. Chapter 4 and verse 18, the Bible says, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Not just physically poor, but poor in spirit, in need. "To him he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised." And then he would say, "This day is a scripture fulfilled in your ears." Because that's what he came to do. And he's still doing that today. He's still seeking the lost. He's still seeking those who would acknowledge their need for his help. And I believe this man at the Pool of Bethesda was this type of man that many can identify with even today. So we look back here, go back with me to John in chapter 5 in our text here tonight, and the first thing we find is Jesus picked out this man. He sought him. Can I tell you, this is God walking in human flesh. Before he went to the Pool of Bethesda, he knew who was there. He knew exactly what was in their hearts and what was on their minds, why they were there, what kind of condition they were in. He knew it all. There's nothing that God does not know. It's ridiculous to think that we can hide something from God. And yet, we still try from time to time. But God would understand. He would know all the things that was taking place. And so when Jesus went up into Jerusalem, he went up to this Pool of Bethesda. And as he went to the Pool of Bethesda, he knew exactly who he was looking for. In verse 5, the Bible says, "And a certain man," the Holy Spirit of God led John to pin this as saying there was a certain man. There was somebody that God was aware of. Somebody that it's possibly the main reason that he even had the Pool of Bethesda. It was the main reason that Jesus went to this Pool of Bethesda. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Long time. And as he had this infirmity for 38 years, when Jesus saw him lie and knew, underline that, because he knew all about it. He knew everything that was going on and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" So the first thing we find here is Jesus picked out this man, possibly the one who had been there the longest and was without hope and no chance of being healed. This man would have been on the brink of saying, "It's not going to happen." We'll find later on he said there has no man. There was no hope. He knew he did not have the strength. He did not have the ability to be able to be the first one into the pool. And that pool was possibly his last hope in this life. Possibly ready to give up and die. I believe there's probably a whole lot more people just like this today than there was a year ago today. There has been so much that could discourage any one of us and all of us, if we would allow it to, that's taken place over the last year. Can you imagine where you would be if you didn't have any of the help that you've received from God, from the church, through your faith? over the last year? The Bible says in Romans in chapter 5, in the book of Romans in chapter 5, let me just read this to you as well, but in Romans in chapter 5 and verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, that's this man at the pool of Bethesda, it was me at some point. I think everyone here would be able to identify that at some point. No more tears to cry. Without any hope, without strength. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Even if you brought it on your own, it's because of your sin, because of your bad choices, because of your lifestyle, whatever it might have been, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Yeah. When I was 8 years old, I got saved. Now, I didn't know, understand a lot, but Jesus found me. In that third grade Sunday school classroom, he used that teacher to preach a message that he knew that would penetrate my heart at 8 years of age and see my need for salvation and call upon him to save my soul. At some point, we find that he did the same for every one of us here that are saved tonight. At some point in your life, he brought the right person, brought the right scripture, brought the right experience, whatever it might have been, but he came seeking to save you because you were lost in need of a Savior. Don't ever forget that. In my journey through life, even as I preached on this morning, I was saved, but many a times I had forgotten that. And I had rebelled against the Lord. And as I rebelled against the Lord, I found myself without strength. Even though I had the strength of God, if I would just yield to it. And then he would come and do something in my life to reveal to me what I needed to do to regain my strength. Usually some kind of a form of chastisement. And I've got so many different stories of my life during that time. I mean, I should have died in 3 or 4 of the different accidents that I was in and totaling out 3 cars, totaled out motorcycles, all the different things. And God helped me in my weakest state. God is there to seek and to save. He's there to seek and to restore believers as well. So he picked this man out, knowing what was going on with this individual, knowing that he was probably the one that was closest to death, one that was ready to just end it all. And he presents a question. A question that God has presented to me many a times. Yeah, in my 48 years of salvation. No, 58 years of salvation. Wow, got to add another 10 years though. Randy, 48 would be you. I'm 58, so Randy always tells me he knows, he sees what he's going to be like in 10 years, and he looks to me. He presents a question. Wilt thou, because it's dependent upon your will. But the question is posed. Wilt thou be made whole? Now, the man was in a dilemma because this was somebody that was lost. He did not know the power of Christ. He did not know the love of Christ. He was not a saved individual, so this would be a salvation experience. And he was still looking for a physical help. He was still looking for a man. Because he said in verse 7, the impotent man answered him and said, "Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, got my hope up, I'm doing everything I can do, struggling to get there, another step of down before me. And I have no hope." How many times in 38 years had he tried to turn his life around by himself, tried to save himself? See, people must see their need and then look to the one that is seeking to help them. Look to the one that came to seek and to save that which was lost, if you're lost. Look to the one who wants to help you to be all that you can be as a born-again believer if you're saved. The one that's wanting to help you to accomplish all that you can accomplish for the cause of Christ and have a purposeful life as your journey through this life, have meaning for existence. He's looking for you. He knows where you're at. He knows what's going on, and he might be asking you the very same question. Wilt thou be restored? Will thou be saved? Now, in this particular case, you think, what a no-brainer. If you're asking me to heal me of this physical infirmity I've had for 38 years, the answer is no question. But that was not all that he was asking him. Will you trust in me to make you whole? That's what he's asking him. It wasn't about a man. It wasn't about physical help. It was about the spiritual help that only comes by way of Jesus Christ. And then you apply that to the lost today. How many times have you been out trying to win the lost, whether you go soul winning or talking to a friend or whatever it might be, and you explain the plan that God has for salvation? Would you want to just bow your head right now? Would you confess that you're a sinner? Will you believe that Jesus died and rose from the grave? And will you just receive a free gift of everlasting life? Would you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved right now? You think that would be a no-brainer. But how many times do you hear, well, not now? Or some, not really interested in that right now. You have some even, oh yeah, I've done that. It tickles me Sometimes I ask them, so you've done that? You've been in church and you've done, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What church? Don't remember. I've even had them said, you know, that Lighthouse Baptist Church, that's where I did that. And that's where I'm a member at. And I said, is that right? I'm the pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Oh, it must have been another church. I just got that confused because I know where that church is. It's unreal how the excuses that people will make because they don't see themselves the way they need to see themselves to be able to get saved. See, many do not want to admit they're lost on the way to a devil's hell. They want to try to figure it out and say, well, as long as I'm better than someone else, that only works if you're faster than someone else when a bear is after you. If a bear is after you, you just got to be faster than one other person. But that's not the case with salvation. You can't be better than somebody else and expect because I'm better than somebody else that God's going to save me. That's not how it works. You have to see yourself as a lost sinner in need of a Savior and then acknowledge that Jesus came to save you. And he's asking you, will you be saved? Do you want to be delivered from eternal hell? Do you want to gain eternal life in heaven? And listen to me, if it wasn't for the blinders that Satan puts on people, that they would, it's a no-brainer. Yes, I want heaven. I don't want to go to a place of hell. Many do not want to spend eternity in hell, but they don't want to stop living a life of sin. So it comes back to the question, wilt thou be made whole? Verse 8 and 9, Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now, Jesus did not lift this man up to enable him to walk. This man's healing would be dependent upon his faith to believe he could get up and walk. Because he put his faith in the words of God. And he would do what Jesus told him to do. And his faith was in Jesus' ability to do what he told him he would do if he would have faith to get up. Now we find this throughout the scriptures over in the book of Matthew and chapter 9. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 9 there in verse 22. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 22, this is a woman with an issue of blood that was looking to Jesus. And all she wanted to do is touch the hem of his garment. And the Bible says, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he knew exactly what was taking place and said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. What made her whole? Her belief in who Jesus was and his ability to do what he said he came to do. Over in the book of Mark in chapter 10. Let me just read this to you. Mark in chapter 10. Everybody with me tonight? Amen. Amen. Stay awake. Stay with. Almost done here, but you need to get a hold of it. Take it in with you. The Bible says here, Mark in chapter 10 in verse 52. And here in Mark in chapter 10, verse 52, it's blind Bartimaeus. And in blind Bartimaeus, we find that in verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way. thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So Jesus did not lift him up, but rather he told him what he had to do, and he would have to have the faith to believe that he could do what Jesus said to do. And when he had the faith to be able to get up and walk, then he got up and walked. And it was his faith that allowed him to be made whole. That was getting saved and getting healed at the very same time. Amen. Yeah. A lot of times, getting saved is exactly what you need to heal your life. We'll go back. We got one more point here to make in John in chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now, there's a lot of other things here, and it's not about the Pharisees. It's not about all of the things that they wanted to make it about. It's about this man. This man that Jesus picked out. This man that Jesus presented a question to. This man that by faith did what Jesus told him to do. He got up and walked. And then verse 14. I love it because the healed man went to the temple. That's where he knew he could find God. And Jesus knew that he was genuinely saved, and so Jesus knew that's where he would find him. And afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. That's a powerful verse right there. In bringing this to a conclusion in this verse right here, we find that the healed man went to the temple where Jesus found him. And when Jesus found him, he gave him instructions and a warning. He knew what this man needed. It's what you and I need. It's what every child needs to be prepared for life. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, the Bible says in Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 4, as he addresses the fathers, to bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Every child needs to be brought up that way to give them the best opportunity to get saved and turn out to be all that they can be for the cause of Christ and accomplish what they can accomplish for the cause of Christ. Those are two very important things. Nurture and admonition. The nurture is the training, the education, and the cultivation of a child's mind. Allowing that child to understand who they are and what they are. That's nurture. And it's not just any nurture, but it's the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. To make that child understand there is a God. And then an admonition. Counsel. Exhortation. And correction. That's how God designed humanity. Every child needs that. Not only that, but every Christian needs that. Every adult needs that when it comes to their understanding of wilt thou be made whole. The nurture part was you've been made whole. After Jesus findeth him in the temple, he saith to him, behold, thou art made whole. You have been saved. Start living like it. Go and sin no more. You have been saved. You believed in me and you believed in the healing and you got up and you showed your faith. And yes, you have been healed and you have been saved. Now you are a born again believer. You have been saved. Start living like it. It was your lifestyle before that caused you to have the infirmity that you have. Now, not every situation is that way. Not every infirmity has been brought on by sin. This man's infirmity had been brought on by sin. Because after he gave him that nurturing, then he admonished him by giving him a warning. Lest a worse thing come unto thee. You're more accountable now. You think you had it bad before. You've been made whole. You're more accountable now because you know the power of God. You know the person of Jesus Christ. Don't think you can go back into that lifestyle and get by with it. Because there will be a worse thing that will happen. Wow. What a nurture and admonition that he needed to make sure he got on the right path and stayed on. My question tonight as we're done. Can you see yourself in this man? If you're honest with yourself, you'll see yourself in this man. At some point in your life, without strength, trying to do it all on your own, Jesus sought you. He asked you a question. Wilt thou be made whole? That could have been, will you be saved? Will you call upon the name of the Lord to save your soul? Or could have been, will you rededicate your life? Will you turn yourself back to me? Be the believer that I know you can be, and accomplish the things that I know you can. Wilt thou be made whole? I could have every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. The salvation and healing at the pool of Bethesda. Part of this man's life might you find yourself in? I trust it's after it was all over, he followed Jesus and never turned back. I trust that will be our testimony. Never turning back. Just going to continue to follow Jesus. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this story of this man at the pool of Bethesda that was healed by faith to believe and do what Jesus said to do. And I pray that you'd help us to apply it to our own lives and make decisions if we have need to. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.